Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us come and sing praise to the risen Christ.
Thank you. our sin before God and one another using the unison prayer of confession in your bulletin. All-knowing and all-powerful God, we confess that even on this most holy day, we are unable to believe in the victory of death displayed in Jesus' resurrection. We confess dependence on you, not only for life, but also for faith, hope, and love. Without your astonishing appearances to our ancestors and your stunning presence through the ages, we would be lost. Forgive us and transform us, that in every way our work and prayer will make whole what is broken and give peace on earth. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Now live at peace with yourself and with the world. The sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all the faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Our second reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 18. If you were here for our Good Friday service, this is the next chapter of the story where we left off. Hear what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb, and the two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first, and he bent down to look in, and he saw there the linen wrappings lying there. But he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then those disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" So Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Picture it. Do you know what TV show that's from? Go ahead and say it. Golden Girls. Thank you. I'm doing my best Sophia Petrillo this morning. Picture it. A small town called Mule's Corners, where the corner store has a hitching post in the parking lot out front. April 15th, 1990. My mom goes out to the barn on that Easter morning to feed the horses. Inside the house, the rest of us are dragging ourselves into the kitchen for breakfast because soon it will be time to get dressed and leave for church. As I remember this in my 11-year-old mind, my mom, who is normally a fairly laid-back person, suddenly bursts into the house, still wearing her barn boots and her barn coats, and she's panting and she's out of breath, and she runs into the kitchen and she says, there's a baby in the barn." Her announcement was greeted by our stunned silence. We can't process what she's saying. A baby what? A human baby? We didn't know. It wasn't April Fool's Day, but maybe she was playing some sort of crazy trick on us. But as she was standing there panting in the kitchen, she couldn't say anything other than, A baby in the barn! And just like the disciples who hear Mary's announcement about Jesus' body being missing, but who need to see the empty tomb for themselves, we all scramble to put our shoes on and then race out of the house, still in our pajamas, into the cool April morning air. My grandmother's bathrobe is flapping in the breeze, and my aunt's plastic pink curlers are bouncing along as we run across the driveway and head into the barn. And there, in one of the horse stalls, huddling between her mom, whom we didn't even know was pregnant, and the wall, hiding so that we could barely see her, is a baby horse. A long-legged colt with big blue eyes and a blanket of Appaloosa spots across her rump, and this white blaze running between her ears, down her face, onto her soft snout. We named her Blue Eyes Easter Surprise, and we called her Easter for short. I can't read the story of the empty tomb without remembering the story of Easter, the horse. Because in those moments, that was the most shocked I have ever been and the most eager I have ever been to see something for myself and not just believe what someone was telling me. It's probably the closest I'll ever come to standing in the shoes of those first disciples on that first Easter morning. The very first appearance of the resurrected Jesus is to a shocked Mary Magdalene, who has come to the tomb early in the morning while it is still dark to mourn the loss of her beloved teacher and friend. She finds that the stone that had been rolled in front of the tomb has been moved away. And like my mom, she runs to tell the others the news of what she has seen. Now in John's gospel and his story of the resurrection, the attention in the narrative is drawn toward this foot race that happens between two other disciples as they're running to the empty tomb. But all the while, Mary is still in the background. John's gospel tells us that the other disciples see and believe, but they don't understand the truth of what they are seeing, so they return home. But Mary remains outside the tomb, weeping. Finally, brave enough to look into the tomb for herself, she sees two angels in white, and she pleads with them for answers. "They have taken away my Lord," she says, "and I don't know where they have laid him." Receiving no reply, she turns around and sees Jesus, but mistakes him for the gardener. So preoccupied with her grief, she desperately asks again if he has moved Jesus' body, and she offers herself to take it away, to care for him. And it is with a single word that Jesus shakes her out of her preoccupation and distraction and brings her wholly into the present. "Mary," he says. And suddenly her fixation with his corpse is made irrelevant by her encounter with the risen Jesus. Mary's dark and closed world is broken open when Jesus says her name. Something illogical and impossible and unnatural takes place. The one who was certified dead, hanging on the cross in John chapter 19, greets Mary in the flesh. And now, the established rules as to what can happen and how are overthrown. The old plausibility structures are left in shambles. It is a new day. It is a new day, and this is news she cannot keep to herself. "I have seen the Lord," she says. It's a glorious story. But Mary almost misses the resurrection. She is so focused on finding Jesus' body that the empty tomb, this sign of good news, is instead for her a cause of more anxiety and fear and frustration. Even when she looks Jesus in the face, she doesn't really see him. I suppose in a way her feelings are natural. She is prepared to grieve. She is prepared for the beginning of a slow, painful process of coming to grips with the absence of one whom she deeply loves. She's prepared to lovingly care for the body of her friend. But what she's not prepared for is an encounter with her risen Lord. She's not prepared to see him in the flesh. She's not prepared to hear him say her name again. Mary almost misses the resurrection. But her dark and closed world is broken open by the sound of her name. Jesus' dear and familiar voice transforms her grief and opens up a whole new world for her. So her narrow preoccupation with the dead body is replaced by a commission from Jesus himself to go to the disciples with the word of his impending ascension. Jesus gives her a new purpose and meaning. She is given a mission. Go and tell. Mary Magdalene is the first to testify to the risen Lord, the first to witness to his resurrection. And you might even say that she is the first to preach a sermon when she says to the other disciples who have stayed away from the tomb, "I have seen the Lord." I wonder how many resurrection moments we miss because, like Mary, we are fixated on the wrong things. How often do we stand in Mary's shoes at the empty tomb and see only death instead of the possibility of new life? How often do we become obsessed with controlling things, even out of loving concern like Mary, when Jesus himself says, "Do not hold on to it"? How often do we stand on the streets of Portsmouth and lament how far the town has fallen? How often do we look at the church and see only what was instead of what could be? How many moments of resurrection, of the master and creator of the universe bringing new life out of death, do we miss because we're preoccupied with the wrong thing? With earthly things instead of heavenly things? On this Easter Sunday, in the same way Jesus spoke to Mary, Jesus is standing next to the empty tomb, saying your name and shaking you out of your distraction, bringing you wholly into the present of this resurrection life that you are already living. Even as we sit here today, Jesus is breaking open our closed world, and he is dying to show us that the illogical and impossible really can happen. It is indeed an Easter surprise. When Jesus speaks her name, Mary is transformed from mourner to messenger, from one who grieves in death to the one who witnesses to the way, the truth, and the life. To be a true believer or a disciple or a follower of Jesus in John's Gospel, one author writes, is to give witness to what you have experienced in encountering Jesus. Not only for the sake of making it true for yourself, but also for the sake of those who would hear and have their own encounter with Jesus. Like Mary, you are already being transformed from one who is preoccupied by the wrong things into a messenger of hope, called to witness to the ways you have encountered Jesus in whatever resurrection moments you have seen in your life. But this transformation isn't just for you. It's for those around you who are longing for their own encounter with the risen Lord. I already see this transformation happening in you in just the almost 2 years that I have been here. You have witnessed to me in resurrection moments. And I see you sharing messages of life-giving hope when you have compassion for the least and the lost. And in the way that you express kindness and support to each other, I see it on Facebook all the time. When you love someone who is hurting and crying out in need. In this season of Easter, which lingers until Pentecost, my prayer is that you will have an encounter with the risen Jesus that will be so transformative that you will not be able to keep it to yourself, but rather you will witness like Mary and say, I have seen the Lord. And I hope when that happens, that you will tell that story to all who will listen, but especially to us here in the church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. As we come to a time of announcements this morning, I wanted to mention to you that if you donate a lily for this morning, you're welcome to take it home with you after worship today. Next Sunday, we're going to start a sermon series on the tiny little book of 1 John, and I've created a little reading schedule to go along with that, so if you'd like to kind of know what's coming up the next Sunday, these orange papers are out on the music stands by the bulletins. Next Sunday, we will be having a second Sunday carry-in with Rice Krispie Chicken as the main dish, so you are invited to bring a side that will match that. And this will be our celebration of our Shawnee students. We like to send them out with food, and they're not actually finished till next month, but they'll be gone before we have food again. So next Sunday, we will be saying thank you and goodbye until the fall, fortunately, for our Shawnee students as they get ready for their summer break. I wanted to mention one other thing, and then Jackie has an announcement. I want to bring to your attention that Esther Wakeman, who is the mission co-worker that we support, she serves in Thailand, is home on furlough, and she's visiting all of the churches who support her. So I encourage you, if you're available on Saturday, April 28th, from 10 to 11:30, she's going to be leading a Bible study on listening prayer. I'm very intrigued by this. I'm not quite sure what she's talking about, so I'm interested in learning more. That's going to be up at Hillview, because we know we have a lot of folks there who would be very interested in that. And it's easier for us to come to them than for them to come to us. So it'll be up at Hillview on the 28th. If you are interested, please RSVP to the office. And if you need any more convincing, coffee and Union Mills pastries will be available for you. So I think the cutoff date for RSVPs is the 24th. So the sooner you can let us know you're coming, the more we would enjoy that.
Today we observe one great hour of sharing. You'll find little packets in your little envelopes in your bulletins. The Front Porch Cafe in Akron, Ohio serves up healthy portions of food and friendship for people needing a new start in life. At the Front Porch, individuals recovering from addiction or re-entering society after spending time in prison can eat a good meal, grow, and learn alongside others who share their struggles, and receive guidance on housing and employment opportunities. When Diretha joined the Front Porch community 5 years ago, she had been sober and drug-free for a year, but a decade of unemployment threatened the sustainability of her success. She volunteered at the cafe and attended its support groups. The staff helped her develop a resume and interviewing skills. These efforts helped Diretha land a job at a catering company where she has worked for 4 years. She continues to live a life free from alcohol and drug abuse. Your one great hour of sharing gifts contributed to Diretha's transformation. The Presbyterian Committee on the Self-Development of People made a grant that helped renovate and equip the building that houses the cafe after Eastminster Presbytery's committee selected the project for funding. Presbyterian Committee on Self-Development of People partners with economically poor people in projects they present, control, own, and are the direct beneficiaries. The Front Porch Cafe is part of South Street Ministries, which serves youth and adults in one of Akron's poorest and most racially diverse neighborhoods. We get people from the church, the recovery world, and the neighborhood who come in just for a place to gather, says Joe Tucker, the ministry's executive director. By purchasing one of the Front Porch's reasonably priced meals, neighborhood patrons support its witness to hope. We give people a lot of hope and redirection, Joe says. We tell people, hey, look, half of our staff are in recovery or in reentry themselves. We know what it's like. What you are wanting to do is absolutely doable. We believe in Christ, and we will pray with you. The consistent reminder of hope is probably the deepest area we have. Diretha continues to attend a support group at the Front Porch and its weekly worship service. If I hadn't gotten involved at the Front Porch, there is a chance I would have started using again and been in prison or even died, Diretha says. Your one great hour of sharing gifts help people move themselves from the depths of despair toward vistas of hope. Please give generously. Let us pray. Transforming God, we pray for people who struggle with addiction. We give thanks for ministries like the Front Porch Cafe that help people overcome this challenge and begin new lives. May we join them in bearing witness to Christ's desire that all people experience freedom and hope. Amen.
If there are joys or concerns that you'd like to share this morning, Jackie is in the back with the microphone ready to go. There are a few joys and concerns that I am aware of. Val is not with us this morning because she is suffering from a pretty bad migraine, so if you'd be praying for her. There are several other kind of unspoken things that are going on that I would ask you to be praying for. So are there any joys or concerns that you would like to share this morning? Yes. Jackie's coming with the microphone.
I would like to ask everyone to remember the Messer and Cole families in prayer, please. They're suffering a very serious crisis right now.
Okay. So Wilma is asking for prayer for the Messer and Cole families. Yes. Prayers of thanksgiving for Nancy, who suffered a stroke and is recovering remarkably well. So prayers for her continuing recovery. Any other joys or concerns this morning?
I ask prayers for my sister. She trains horses. And recently, yesterday actually, they had to put her very virgin horse down. She's only 16. So we've had this horse for about probably almost 10 years. And she's really worried about it. My mom says she's doing okay, but just ask for prayers for my family. It's kind of hard for us.
What's your sister's name?
Elizabeth.
So prayers for Joe's sister Elizabeth, who trains horses and has had to put her very first horse down yesterday. Any other joys or concerns? Seeing none, then let us pray. When everything was dark and it seemed that the sun would never shine again, Lord, your love broke through and opened the tomb. Your love was too strong, too wide, and too deep for death to hold. The sparks cast by your love dance and spread and burst forth with resurrection light. We know that you come to us in unexpected places, in a crowded room, in a journey on a dusty road, in conversation with others, and in the stillness. You come in the midst of our doubt, our fear, and our sorrow. And when you come in the power of resurrection. No pain and suffering is unknown to you. You bring us peace, and we pray for the places where there is no peace, for women and children who live in fear, for countries torn by war, for refugees seeking safety, for addicts struggling to find hope, for prisoners facing torture and abuse. You bring peace to the tensions and conflicts within us, to the regrets, the failures, the broken relationships, and the lost friendships. You bring peace, for you are a friend to us when we are lonely. Unseen, you are there, and you bring us peace. And we pray that we too might love others as you have loved us, and become peacemakers in your holy name. Hear us now as we pray together the way you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. With compassion for our needs, the risen one stands beside us, calling our names. Let us, with that same mercy, bring forth tithes and offerings to relieve the suffering of the world and to proclaim far and wide the good news of resurrection life. Will the ushers please come forward to collect our tithes and offerings?
Thank you.
these are the people Jesus invited to spend time with him. And they are the same people Jesus still invites to spend time with him today. This is his table, and he invites all kinds of people to be his guest. And his promise is this: when we are gathered together to retell the story and to share again the blessing, breaking the bread and drinking the cup, we will taste and see and know a love made real for us in Jesus' sacrifice. May we then be Jesus for the world around us, helping to heal its brokenness with his love. So you, with all of your doubts and questions and broken pieces, are being transformed into witnesses even now. You are invited to be his guest at this table. Let us join our voices together as we sing and say our way through the prayer of great thanksgiving printed in your bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. You are holy, God of wonders, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He came with healing in his touch, but he was wounded for our sins. He came with mercy in his voice, but he was mocked and taunted. He came with peace in his heart, but was met with violence and death. But by your power, he broke free from the tomb. The one who was dead is now alive. The one who humbled himself is now lifted up as the Lord of all creation and the Lamb upon the throne. And so we join our voices with the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. Make us one with Christ that we might be one with all who share this feast. Great is the mystery of faith. Understand your desire for us to be witnesses of your resurrection. speaking words that give life and shine light into a dark and broken world. And now make your presence known among us this morning as we gather at your table, making this ordinary bread and cup into something extraordinary, a meal meant to nourish and guide us into complete holiness. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me. So now every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of Jesus Christ until he comes again. As we celebrate communion together today, the elders will bring you the bread first, and we ask that you please take a piece of bread from the tray and pass it to the person next to you, and then hold on to it until we've all been served so that we might eat it together. And we'll do the same thing with the cup, which is filled with grape juice. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. By your power, you raised Jesus from death to life. Through his victory over the grave, we are set free from the bonds of sin and the fear of death. Instead, now we live in the glorious freedom of being children of God. As we go from this place, we praise you knowing that Jesus is present with us at this table, and indeed every place we go. In Jesus' name, amen. God, who comes to us in the things of this world, bless your eyes and be in your seeing. May Christ, who looks upon you with deepest love, bless your eyes and widen your gaze. May the Spirit, who perceives what is and what may yet be, bless your eyes and sharpen your vision. May the sacred three bless your eyes and cause you to see the risen Lord when he stands in front of you. Go in peace to love and serve our risen Lord in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Please greet your neighbor, passing the peace of Christ.
Thank you. Amen.